So, obviously, we're wearing green today for the first time on a Sunday in about 4 months as we get into the regular cycle of the Ordinary Time readings. We entered into Ordinary Time a few weeks ago after Pentecost, and so the weekday masses, except for the feast days, have been green, but as we know, the last couple of weeks, we've had some pretty special feast days. We ended Easter with the great feast of Pentecost. Outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the group of disciples in the upper room who were filled with the life of God and then with great boldness and confidence went forth to proclaim the saving message of Jesus Christ. And then the next week we celebrated the Most Holy Trinity, because as we are filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have the spiritual powers to understand who God is. As he reveals himself to us as that Holy Trinity, that communion of persons who live in self-giving love, we can understand this self-revelation of God. And then we realize that love, God is love, and he wants to reveal himself to us as he did in the Holy Trinity, but love doesn't satisfy itself with simply revealing, it wants to be shared. And so last week we celebrated Corpus Christi, the most holy body and blood of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. On Friday, we celebrated the great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's continuing this theme of revelation and sharing. As we know now that the heart of Jesus, the human fleshy heart of Jesus, burns for love for each one of us. As he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, his human heart is there, beating, burning with love and desire for each of us. That the heart is the core of the human person, the center of who we are, much more than just Hallmark cards and great sentiments and affections, but the true depth, the center, the decision-making place within each one of us. And God has that human heart in the person of Jesus. And he desires to share that heart with us. It's what Jesus came to do. It's to reveal the face of the Father, but to reveal the heart of the Father. To share that human love, that burning, passionate love of the heart of God. And it's that heart that we heard about at the beginning of the gospel. His heart was moved with pity as he gazed around and saw the chosen people, the ones who were described in that first reading. The chosen people were wandering around aimlessly, lost, abandoned, confused, scared, alone, like a sheep without a shepherd. And our God's heart was moved with pity. When you think about God, as you say your prayers and you conjure up images of God, how often do you imagine him with a heart moved with pity over the plight that you're facing that day, over the drama and the turmoil, the fear, the anxiety, the many things that come across our lives that cause us to wander around aimlessly, afraid, scared, confused, like sheep without a shepherd? Do you realize that God looks at you and his heart is moved with pity? So often we have the wrong idea about who and what God is. As we go through these reading cycles of the ordinary time, we're getting a glimpse into the heart of God the Father, God who loves us. And how did Jesus respond to this observation, this heart-wrenching scene? He told them to pray. That the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few, pray. When we face the turmoils and the trials of our life, is prayer our first response? And we know especially over the last couple of years, every time in society when there's a traumatic event or some type of things that are negative news stories, how the atheistic secular media, the Marxists in our world try to downplay the power of prayer and discourage us from praying, saying we've had enough of prayer and good thoughts. We need action. But that's not how God responds. God responds first by saying prayer. So we need to pray. And then there's action. And then Jesus summoned them to himself. He summoned the 12. Why 12? Because we heard in the first reading, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and those 12 sons formed the tribes of the chosen people, those people who God called to himself, not because of anything great or anything at all that they had done. Scripture tells us he called them to himself because he loved them and desired to be in relationship with them and desired to share himself with them. And he did that by giving them the law. And that these chosen people who no longer had to go in aimless search for their God out there had a God so great that came close to them. And so their challenge, their charge, their opportunity was to be faithful to the law that God had given them so that the other people who were not part of the chosen group would see what a great and loving and merciful and kind God we have. So that through the example of the chosen people, that everyone would want to be part of that one group, of the one family of God. But we know how the Old Testament pans out. It didn't happen that way. The chosen people got exclusive. They thought they were special because of something inherently about them, and they began to separate themselves and not allow any crossover. And that's the state that Christ came into. And this is why we had the verse before the gospel, the first words of Jesus in Mark's gospel. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The message of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's the same message that John the Baptist, his precursor, preached. And it's the same message that we heard today that he gave the apostles when he sent them out to preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. Christ came to bring us the kingdom of God. Pope Benedict XVI reminds us that Jesus is the kingdom of God. And so when he says the kingdom of God is at hand, Jesus is saying, I am here. Me, the heart of the Father on display for you. As I reveal to you the face of the Father, you no longer need to live in isolation. You no longer need to wander around in your fear and your confusion. I am here. But so many of us so often don't believe that. For a myriad of reasons, we don't believe that we're worthy. We don't truly believe that Christ wants to come close to us. Maybe close to us, but not close to me. I live in my fear. I live in my confusion of my identity. I live in this scattered world of anxiety and depression. And I refuse to receive the gift of the living God who desires to come close to me. And part of the reason is because of the assessment that Jesus gave. Because the people truly were sheep without a shepherd. Because the men that he had called, the men who had been appointed to lead them, were not being good shepherds. And that was the case all the way back from 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. But throughout the Old Testament, God, through the prophets, promised that he would send a good shepherd. And so as I said, on Friday we celebrated the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. On that day, it's also the day we pray for the sanctification of the sacred priesthood. For that those of us who have been called, those of us who have been called and have said yes, We pray that those priests become holy. Saint Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, said, we don't need more priests. We need holy priests. We need good shepherds. And so we pray. We pray for the men chosen to lead our communities, myself included, that we be holy priests, that we be formed after the heart of God the Father, made known to us in the person of Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, the harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. The harvest goes beyond these walls of this church. And the laborers needed are more than just simply the ministerial priesthood. In the first reading, he said, you will be a nation of priests. In your baptism, if you've been baptized, then you are a priest. Not the same type of priest I am. There's a difference, but there's a common priesthood. You are anointed priest, prophet, and king. And the primary role of a priest is to make sacrifice on behalf of the other and to intercede on them. So when we encounter the wandering sheep out in the world who have no shepherd, the church needs you. The church needs your witness. The church needs you to be able to go out into the world and proclaim that the kingdom of God is here. Are you ready? Are you willing? Or is that someone else's job? Maybe the reason that the world and the church is in the condition it's in, because we hear this message and we assume someone else is going to answer. Someone else will step up. Someone else will be a priest. Someone else's son will be a priest. Someone else will lead the charge in politics and in medicine and law and finance and construction and plumbing. Someone else will be the Christian in the world, not me. And oftentimes we feel that way because, again, we don't feel worthy. In a sense, it's true, we're not. But that's the good news. That's what Jesus told us. Or St. Paul told us about Jesus in that second reading from Romans chapter 5. For the rest of the summer, we're going to be reading through Romans. We won't get the whole book, the whole letter. So I encourage you to spend some time with St. Paul's letter to the Romans this summer. This beautiful, beautiful letter he wrote to a community that he didn't found, that he hoped to visit, was introducing himself and the Christian message. But what did he say today? You won't die for a bad person. You might find the courage to die for a good person, but, I mean, die for a bad person? Never. But God proves his love for you. So we know that God is love. And not only that, but he proves his love for you. What does St. Paul say? He proves it by while you were dead in your sin, he died for you. While you were separated from him because of your sin, he died for you to bring you through reconciliation into communion with him. What an amazing God that is. What a beautiful gift that is. That God died for you because he loves you. And that's the message. This is the reign of the kingdom of God that the world needs to hear. That God is love. And God loves you. And God has a plan for your life, a plan of sheer goodness. But because of sin, that plan has been twisted, has been thwarted. And we're not able to fulfill the plan that God has for our life. And because of that, he sent his son Jesus to die for you. To die to save you from your sin, to save you from the slavery and the darkness of the tomb. So that you can have the ability to enter into a relationship with him. And to help you with that, he founded a church, the Roman Catholic Church, and he gave the church the sacraments. And through the preaching of the gospel, we're invited to a life of repentance and reconciliation. Because we're lost, we're dead without him. And he needs you, he wants you to say yes to his invitation. And so he gives us the sacraments, and through the waters of baptism, you have access to eternal life. This is the message the world needs to hear. You've been summoned and you've been sent. I often said if I was going to put the gospel on a bumper sticker, come and see and go and tell. It's that simple. Jesus summoned the 12 to himself, and then he sent them out. This is the life of the disciple. He called the 12 disciples, and he sent 12 apostles. The disciple is a student. The apostle is one who's sent. The world is in desperate need of your witness, of your testimony, of your proclamation of the kingdom. So many, even in our own family, are lost and alone, wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. And yes, we pray that more men will become priests. We need them. As we distribute communion today, we'll have an extraordinary minister. Mother Church tells us that anytime we see an extraordinary minister distributing communion, it's a sign that it's a vocation crisis. So every time you see a lay person distributing the Holy Communion, you should be praying that more men become priests. But we need good men in the world. Those same cultural Marxists, those atheistic, humanistic secularists who tell us not to pray, they're trying to destroy men. And on this day that we honor fathers in our community, we pray for strong men. We pray for strong fathers to step up, to rise to the occasion, to rise to the challenge. The devil is trying to kill us. That's his job. That's his duty. But we have the answer. The answer is life lived in surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a hierarchy. There's an order to this world. Jesus said, don't go to everybody just yet. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. At the end of this gospel, he says, now go to the end of the world. There's a hierarchy. There's an order. In the church, it's the pope, it's the bishop, it's the priest, the lay people. In the homes, it's God, it's the husbands, it's the fathers, and then the wives and the children. The devil's doing a really good job of disorganizing all of this. And this is what we pray for today. That the men of God rise up. The men of God rise up to be good shepherds. Whether they're on this side of the altar or that side of the altar, we need good men, we need good shepherds. So many are lost, wandering aimlessly. They need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. That God created you, God loves you, and through Jesus Christ, you have access to heaven. You've been summoned, and you've been sent.